Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Hi, Women in WP listeners. This is Tracy with a quick message from our sponsor, WP Remote. WP Remote is a dedicated care plan platform that will help fuel your agency's growth with maintenance care plans for your clients' websites. WP Remote provides an automated workflow for you to manage multiple sites from one central dashboard. With one-click updates, incremental backups, automated malware scans, firewall, uptime monitor, and more, WP Remote is created by the same great folks behind Blog Vault, Malcare, and Migrate Guru. Save time, increase your revenue, and make your clients happy by trying WP Remote today for free. Learn more at wpremote.com/womeninwp. And now, on to our show.
Welcome to the show. I'm Angela Bowman.
I'm Tracy Apps.
And I'm Amy Masson.
Our guest today is Olga Gleckler, a full-stack WordPress developer who makes plugins and custom themes, child themes, and especially likes third-party integrations. Welcome, Olga.
Hi.
As you know, we like to start off each episode by asking our guests about their journey to WordPress. How did you get started?
You know, it was started a long time ago. I was very much wanted to become a programmer. But first attempt wasn't very good. I failed because I had no knowledge, no mentors, no ways to get an information. I put it on hold. I don't like a failure thing. So it was postponed for me. And it took me 14 years to return to it and finally make my first site from scratch. It was very narrow path and it was very difficult to know where to look for information. So finally I got working site to maintain. And it was really luck. I took it apart, found how it worked, and started to write my own sites from scratch. It was only one thing I had at hand. But then I was had no idea that there are some kind of systems. I was building again and again from scratch. And then I got a website on WordPress to fix bug. And I figured it on a weekend. But then it was like something for me. I fixed it and go back to my business. I started also to work with another system. But then I started piece by piece comparing them. And I got clients with different systems and find out that WordPress is the best choice there is. So I was continuously struggle with other stuff and was very disappointed and started to think, why on earth I supposed to work on these systems I don't like? So now I am working only with WordPress. I have some legacy, you know, I suppose everyone has. But it's different world in quality and in understanding and in familiarity with things, how I feel that things are supposed to be going.
So that first word, that first website you made, the very first one, what was it about? What was it for?
It was some stuff for repair, like catalog for stuff for builders. And it's still running.
It's still running?
Yes, yes. I make some kind of new design several years back, but it's the same site. It was 8 years ago.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
That means you did a good job.
And that site was WordPress, or that was one that you built from scratch?
No, it was from scratch. And it was a problem because each time I need to, you know, new feature, I need to write it from scratch. And actually, it was like your shop. You can make its favorite product. You can make it go into cart, etc., and make an order. So it was piece by piece made, and it was very slow work.
Well, that's very difficult to do from scratch. But that's an amazing experience when you start working in WordPress. I know if I hadn't started just doing hand coding, like I was never at your level. I was HTML when I first started, and then CSS came around, and then I kind of gradually learned that. And then I just, after that, anything else, like copying and pasting from other websites and stuff. But like to understand how it works in the back end, like that makes you such a valuable programmer. And you talk about like failing and then, but that's how you learn. Like that's like amazing. And I just wanted to give you credit because I think that's pretty amazing.
Thanks.
Well, the very first websites I made were in college, and I taught myself HTML just by looking at the source code on other websites. And I'm, you know, nothing I made actually had any functionality. I mean, it was just like, hey, I'm Amy, and, you know, here's pictures of me being stupid in college, and then, you know, click a button and go to another page with more pictures of me doing stupid things.
Did we have the same website? Because that was basically mine.
You know, I had the same when I failed. It was like include, and it was all what I managed to do. And the pictures, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and I remember that first time I made a WordPress site, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This template applies to every single page. Like, I don't have to, like, remake the page or duplicate the page every single time. And it was just like it opened a whole new world for me.
Yeah. So you, in those early sites, were you using programming languages like PHP or ASP, or like what did you end up learning first in terms of all of the web?
It was HTML mostly. It was also PHP. It's unavoidable. HTML, JS. It was jQuery. First, I was need to make a calculator, and I made it a month. And I really wanted to bump my head on the wall because it was so difficult. With jQuery, you know, now I can do it in 2 hours, I think, just because of a lot of typing. And I don't really use jQuery anymore. It's like below the standards already.
I've been there.
Well, I think that's one of the benefits of moving from making everything from scratch to a system like WordPress is that it enables you to bypass so much of that time that you spend individually making each little thing that takes a month that, you know, oh, now there's a plugin for it and I can install it. And an hour later, it's perfect or near perfect.
I still like to do things by my hands.
I'm the same.
Well, and you make
I agree.
You make plugins. So what plugins have you made?
Not for repository. It's for clients, you know, additional functionality, mostly third-party integration, like you need integration with storage system, with loyalty system, with some other systems. And most times, you need something special, and existing integration just don't work.
Yeah, integrations makes a lot of sense is where you would need custom development work. It's kind of where the rubber meets the road, we say, where the tires hit the road is with those integration pieces.
And each time is something new.
Yeah. We were talking kind of earlier before we were recording about like, because I've gotten this too, where they're like, they just basically assume you're not a real developer, right? And I don't know if there was also a discussion, a debate or something on Twitter about was HTML and CSS a programming language? you know, and I'm like, yeah, programming things and stuff. So like, I'm very encouraged by your story. I love that you like, you just make things and like have that ability to make things like unique and from scratch. What do you have anything like kind of your favorite project or most like something that you were really proud of that you created?
You know, it's difficult, really no showcase. There are good cases, but they are just good. Mostly, it's all about creativity and design when you starting to make showcases. And most of the time, I'm not so creative in these things, and they are just good. And I think that functionality is supposed to be first. Mm-hmm. And when your client or your boss or whatever want to make some creative things that look cool, it isn't my thing.
I totally agree.
Well, and that's actually a really good point, because I was also thinking, because I do design, but I also do like strategy. Like I do like product design and like some development and that stuff. And you're right. Like you don't know a good programmer because you never have to see their work because it just works. So it's one of those things like, well, how do you share that? How do you, this is why I'm like terrible at writing like a resume. Cause it's like, how do you say, I just made it work. Like, like that's what we did.
And if you made something for some client, you cannot share it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes you can't.
It's so true. Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're this hidden person. You're behind the scenes and people don't realize. I find that with my clients who I do maintenance work for, like maybe they don't want to pay for this more expensive hosting, or maybe they think they don't need the maintenance. And the only reason for that is that because I'm doing it, nothing breaks. And so they kind of take that for granted. You know, if I weren't doing it, I know their site would be, you know, broken or hacked or whatever happens to sites when they're not kept up well. And so when you're that person making things work, yeah, it's this invisible hand and you kind of don't get the total respect that you deserve for how well a good job you're doing.
Yeah, it's very difficult when actually it's all working.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost better like in your start where you had to go fix someone else's work and find that infinite loop that you had happening in that theme and
yes,
you fixed it.
Yes, it was infinite loop in some kind of conditions. It wasn't happening each time.
Yeah, when you can fix someone else's mistake, then you can look like the hero.
Yeah.
So what type of clients are you typically working for?
Small businesses, I suppose. Some people who have sell some stuff or make repairment, some small businesses.
And are you doing a lot of e-commerce?
So from time to time, yeah, because it's, I suppose it's now it's most popular.
And you are your clients mostly in Russia, or are you working with people everywhere?
Mostly in Russia, but right now it's not only in Russia. I hope to.
What's the WordPress community and even just the tech community like in your town, in your city?
Actually, we have a local community. And we spent time, even without WordCamps, I'm avoiding such things, but people are going to computer club to play games. And I suppose I can join them to plug a package, because right now it's not very simple thing to do.
Yep.
You need to be brave.
Exactly.
But we have here local community, small but robust. And we have Moscow's community, a bit bigger. And we have people all over the Russia, and we all stay together. And I think it's the most beautiful thing that I cannot, right now I can attend Moscow's meetup or make a conversation with people from all over the Russia, and we are staying together, and we had coffee break one, but we had it already and we had fun.
That's so wonderful. So you got started into programming, you took a break for 14 years, you got back in, you discovered WordPress. When did you discover the WordPress community? And tell us about your involvement with WordPress 5.6, yeah?
It's a story.
We want to hear the story.
Yeah. So I started with the community 3 years back. It was a tough moment for me because I was working with another system and I wasn't satisfied, and it wasn't my decision to work, and work wasn't going well. It was a disaster. We succeeded, but it took 2 years and a lot of nerves. So I wanted to, you know, the way out, to make myself engaged in something. So I started to look for events, any events, anything, and stamp on a meetup, WordPress meetup. I came, and actually it was the first event when I was engaged in with other people, because I went to a lot of events and didn't tell anyone anything. And here I was very comfortable. I felt myself like a professional, and I had knowledge to share. I was open and I made some connections with people. And after this, we had half a year later, we had WordCamp. It was a fantastic event. And it's so open community, so open people. And possibly because just I feel myself in the right place with the right people, it's so comfortable.
Something I think that we have talked about before is how we have felt like in the WordPress community that men and women, it's not, women aren't quite as like second class as maybe in some other tech communities. And I wonder if that is how you feel about it in Russia. Do you feel like that women are more equal with men in the WordPress community there?
I don't feel any uneasiness, I suppose. But most women in the community are designers, marketers. But we have developers as well, and well-known, and they make presentations, etc. So there are no difficulty for women. And I don't feel anything, you know, out of place. I'm quite comfortable, and people just awesome.
That's great.
And are you working with the WordPress 5.6 release teams? Are you involved with the core project right now?
Oh, with core a bit. You know, I was working on Q&A. We published it on marketing channel on GitHub. It was a lot of work, and we still struggle to put it on the right place on Help Hub, really. But we hope that it work will help people to find right answers. And we are very deep in SEO optimization and seeking for questions. And also after 5.6 was launched, I specially went to support forum and spent several days answering questions to, you know, to know what actually problems are.
In terms of the global community then, like, how has that impacted you aside from like local meetups, local WordCamps, like what has been the influence of being part of more of the global? And you mentioned Abatakor as a mentor. Like, what role has that played in your development as?
About global community. It was March of 2019, and it was a Nordic WordCamp in Finland, Helsinki, and I wanted to give it a try. Back then, I wasn't sure that I will be able to speak English, really. So it was not very difficult to go to Finland, so I just give it a try. And it was fantastic. I met a lot of people from all over Europe. I just loved it. So after this, I went to Berlin without any doubts. I went to Vienna this February. I was very lucky because Asia was canceled and it was only a week later.
Yeah, that's right.
Were you supposed to go to Asia?
No, I prefer Vienna. I know English, at least now I know that I know it, and a bit of German. So it's quite comfortable for me.
That makes sense.
Wow. So did you give a talk in Finland?
No, but I just attended.
Oh, okay. You just attended.
But, you know, it's a freedom. Attending, it's a freedom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want. And there are a lot of amazing people around.
Well, and one of the things about, the whole idea of an unconference was the fact that I'm not just going and attending a conference, even though if we do just go and attend a WordCamp, there's always an exchange of information because that's the culture that is fostered of like, yeah, sometimes the best sessions are in the hallway with people that I just meet, and we come up with ideas. Like Angela and I met, and we were like, we should do this thing. We're like, yeah, you know, like that. Those are some of the most, like, I feel like those are most valuable things of going to a conference like WordCamp versus just sometimes of these other conferences where you don't talk to others, you just, you know, whatever. So. Yeah, that's awesome. How was Finland? Oh, I want to go there so bad.
Finland was awesome. And actually, there was all people from all Europe. And it was so excited. And good food also. Very good food. Thanks to sponsors.
Cannot wait until we can travel again, because then I have a list. I have a long list.
Yeah, I can't wait until we're able to go places and actually have like real life WordCamps, because, you know, I know they're doing them online and you can go on and you can see the talks. But to me, it's more about that connection with other people that are in my field. And I don't feel like I can get that by sitting here looking at my computer. So I'm excited to when we can actually start getting together in person again, which probably is 2022.
Yeah.
But what we have now, possibly it's best what we can have.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I have very busy online life, I think. We have marketing meetings, we have coffee breaks. It's very, very close to each other. And I can attend meetups or WordCamps from all over the world.
That is a really good point. Yeah, that's very true. Cause like I could just, you know, could just pop in anywhere. And I think honestly, the fact that like things like this, where we can, you know, see each other in just like a group and chat, like that to me is like just so wonderful. And the fact that we do have the technology and that we work in technology, we can make it better and we can continue doing that because then we can foster those things. Cause we might not be able to travel, or, you know, like I'm too busy, I can't travel, or I can't afford to go to this thing. But to have this technology and to these to figure out how to make these connections without like being in the same room, like that's, I think, is gonna do very well. Like it's going to really help us in the future too.
It's definitely a lot less expensive.
It's true.
Yes. I participated in Adobe Max last week just for one day.
Oh, my sister did too.
And it was, I have to say, they produced their segments so well, and I was so inspired. And it's not an event I would have gone to because of the price and all of that. I would have prioritized probably a WordCamp or something, but it was like, that was special and it was free. And I also didn't have a lot of time, so I only kind of participated for one afternoon, but it was enough to feel like I got something. And it was kind of mind-blowing how well they did that. But, you know, I was blown away by the speakers. You don't get to do the attendee thing. And I think that's where so many connections come. Even the sponsors of this podcast right now, the makers of Blog Vault, I met them at Pressnomics. And I went up to them and talked to them and told them about the show. And then they approached me about sponsoring the podcast. And it was that connection, that in-person connection that allowed that to happen. So I feel like in some ways it is harder. It's so much harder to make those connections, but we're making different connections. And so, yeah, we are doing the best we can. At least we have technology like the Jetsons to.
I want my flying car. Where's my flying car? Come on.
And our robot maid.
I know, right?
Well, we have robot vacuums, right?
I could just stand on a conveyor belt, right? And then once a shower and, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Got ready.
Mm-hmm. Fly off in our flying car.
Yeah. So how is your, has your client work been like grown during this pandemic, or what is your business kind of been like?
Different. Some projects are on hold. Some people have problems here, but everyone wants to go online. Everyone. The question is about payment, of course, because yep. People want everything and they want it cheap.
Yep.
It's another side.
And fast too, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I want it tomorrow.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
I was really concerned when COVID hit about what business was going to look like, because I know when we had the recession in 2008, having a website was a luxury that people just decided to go without or not update. And so my business really suffered. And so I actually started, kind of stockpiling all the profit we were making just in case, you know, it started to go downhill, we could still get paid in a few months. And when I would send out invoices each month, I would put a notice that I understood that people were having financial trouble because of COVID. And if they needed to delay payment or they needed me to work for free, that I would do it. And so far, luckily, everybody's been able to pay and nobody has questioned it. And you know, we haven't taken a big hit. So I feel like we've been really lucky here, or at least I have, and to be able to still work.
I feel like in technology, like that, because everything is kind of going online and kind of needing that, like when I remember the recession hit, and that's when I started my company, because I lost my job, because the big corporations and such were the ones that lost all the money and were suffering the most. And then they just laid us all off and then hired us as freelancers and such. So, I've been out of, like, as I was doing some contract work before, getting laid off, but like, so it's very fascinating to me to see the parallels and the very differences because of the situation, and how much we rely on technology now. So, yeah. It's amazing to me.
And what is the situation like with COVID in Russia right now?
It's going worse. It's the same. Children went to schools. They cannot teach them without actual attendees, because it was Zoom, of course, but teachers were struggling and they just cannot do it. And like, you know, like most of the day went and children has no questions, no tasks to do, and they just waiting and become angry because this system does not work. And they need to will be able to do it, you know, in the evening at last moment, because tomorrow will be another studies. It was a problem for children, for teachers, for parents also. I have a 13 years old son, so it was tough.
How old?
13.
Nice.
So it was all this explanation.
Yeah, my granddaughter is 6. And my daughter is really struggling because the system, and in particular the system she's in, is really just for a 6-year-old. It's impossible.
My friend is teaching at 3 different universities and 3 different systems that she has to use, and they're all terrible. This is an opportunity for us to make this better. It needs to be.
Is your son back in school now, or are you still at stay at home, or do you think you go to stay at home?
They stayed at home like 2 weeks this autumn, but mostly they are at school.
Good.
Just behave very differently. Some like stay away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go any nearer.
I can't imagine being a kid in this situation, because I wouldn't.
Different times too. Sorry.
There was an NPR article just last week, I think, saying that they realized that the schools are not the super spreaders that they thought they were going to be, and that with the mask wearing, it's so far it's been pretty good. Universities, that's different.
That's a different story because yes, they're invincible, right?
Right. No. Well, and they just won't stop, you know, getting together in groups and socializing. Whereas, you know, the kids go to school, they wear their masks, they come home, they're not doing those big, you know, parties and things like that, and drinking, which oddly contributes.
Right.
Well, and I wonder, because, you know, I feel like kids these days, I just feel like they adapt so much faster to things. Like, I'm like, this is how we used to do it. It's just a struggle. And I feel like as you get older that, you know, it gets harder. So, yeah.
Do you have restrictions now on your movement where you live? Where we live right now, you can't have more than 10 people from 2 different families total together. And nearby big city, it's limited to 5 people can get together is all. And then we also have a mask mandate now. If you're outside in Denver, if you're outside your house and you're near anyone outside your household, you have to have a mask on. So you can't like go walk with a friend and not have a mask. And so it's getting, but we have about 5 million people in our state, and we're having about 2,000 cases a day now. But not so much there.
5 million people in St. Petersburg, and possibly more because of all this area around. But we have only restrictions that you're not allowed to go inside shops, etc., without a mask.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
same here.
On public transport as well. But I don't think that someone will bother to try to catch you outside.
Yeah, ours is similar. There's a mask mandate, but like I go out and run, and I run with a friend, and we don't wear masks when we're running. I figure I'm going so fast that all the germs are just blowing behind me, which it's not true because I don't run fast.
This is the dream running, Amy.
And this is how you look, right? And you look like photogenic,
yes,
runner.
Yes.
And then
and her hair is blowing.
Reality, it's like,
The people that aren't watching and are only listening are really missing out on all of us pretending to run at our desks.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I'm glad your movement isn't so restricted and your son is at school. That must be such a relief to you that he's at school.
Let's cut out things, you know.
Yeah, it's a hard age.
And do you work with other, do you have like a team or are you pretty much just by yourself?
I'm pretty much by myself. Sometimes I work with designer when I need some creativity I cannot provide. And sometimes I, of course, work with other people in a team. I have some legacy I was mentioning before. But the advantage of this work is that you can do almost everything by yourself. It's one of the reasons because I started to be a developer. I was, at some point, I was a marketer and I was from another side of the site. And I was asking, and I didn't get anything useful from this guy.
Not surprising.
And I had no right to, you know, to go and write it by myself. And I hated it.
Now, you want something done, you got to do it yourself.
Yes, yes. So I went to another side of the site.
And, you know, honestly, I feel like that, I don't know how much you like have to deal with clients, but for me, when I, because I also came from a design background and kind of self-taught, I also don't do that whole like, well, here's a bunch of gibberish and like buzzwords just to confuse you and like, and then like not answer the question, but like taking the time to go and say like, oh, well, this is that, like, I don't know how much with your clients do you end up doing like that kind of, you know, guiding and training and answering questions like that?
I'm always trying to, you know, to teach people, mm-hmm. but it's not always the case they want. Some That's people true. Just want,
you just fix it.
Can make me anything what I want, and it's, I will not bother how it looks inside or how it works. And it's a bit of frustrating because I want people to be able to manage it by themselves. And it's a good system, pretty easy to handle. And I am doing from my side everything that all these settings will be available in admin page. And if no one was needed it, it's, you know.
Yeah, the extra time to do that.
Yeah, I would prefer either clients take over managing the site altogether 100% or they have me do it 100%. The hybrid where they want to do stuff and then they need me to come in and help, that's where I start to, you know, have problems. But we make it work.
If they asking you sometime, like switch some button or make a change in telephone, it's not my thing. They can do it themselves because it's all in admin.
Yep. I'm the same. That's why I started record, because I also am not good at typing out instructions. So I just do a video, like recording my screen and just like, because I cannot be short. I like with words, I just babble on and I'm like, oh yeah. And then you go here and then this, and like, yeah. So that helps.
I was writing instruction, but I'm not sure that they actually read it.
Well, and I do like the screencast too with Loom, and you'll get a notification once they've watched it, and I will send them all the time and they'll never watch them. Like, okay.
I have mine on YouTube so I can see how many they're viewed, but I don't know if it's from the clients or just found people found them or something.
Oh, I just send them out. Here's a link to what you like, specifically exactly what they want to know. Well, it's been great having you on the show today. Before we go, can you tell everyone where they can find you online?
They can find me on Marketing Make WordPress channel. They can find me on Twitter, of course. It's the most popular for me place to be.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Great.
It was great meeting you.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.